Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Doesn't matter what turmoil is going on in our lives, what's happening within the world, what we hear and read in the news. Doesn't matter what things and statistics are throwing at us. We choose to turn our eyes. We choose to turn our eyes onto you, because we know, Lord God, that as we do, everything and anything of this world becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until it's annihilated. Father, we pray that you will just continue to permeate this service. Holy Spirit, that you will reveal Jesus to us today. That you, as you reveal Jesus, Holy Spirit, you will also reveal the Father. Because we know that Jesus came to reveal the Father. And Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. I pray that each one of us, that the scales will fall off of our eyes this morning. And that we will see the majesticness of our Savior, the Prince of Peace. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed said amen and amen. Amen. Thanks, team. Can we give God another, just one last big, massive praise offer before we continue? This water bottle's going to fall over soon. It is Christmas. Who is excited about that? My daughter is not in the service. She reminded me today that it is the 1st of December. And that the Christmas tree needs to go up. I was like, yeah, sure, hun. I've been trying to ignore it for some time. But her, if you go into her bedroom, you would think that it is like a Christmas shop in there. There's lights and decorations and trees and baubles and I don't know what all. And that's been since the 1st of November. She loves Christmas. I do too. I've got to say, I do too. 24 sleeps. Are you ready? 24 sleeps until Christmas. We made it. We made it. We made it, Paulina. We made it. Oh, congratulations on your 1 year being here. That's fantastic. And I'm so glad that you're here, being here for a whole year. Can you please remain here for another couple of years? That would be awesome as well. Many, many years. Everybody around the world is at this point in time getting ready for Christmas. You go into the shops, carols are playing, decorations are up, trees are up, etc., etc. There's been shopping happening already because it's Black Friday, Monday, cyber shopping, or I don't know what all. But I mean, they were talking about over $6 billion being spent over this weekend. $6 billion. Whew, that's a lot of money, that is for sure. But you know what's actually even more mind-boggling is the fact that people who don't even believe in Jesus are preparing to celebrate Christmas. And it's your job, my job, to reveal to them the real reason for the season. And his name is Jesus. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, there was a man named Isaiah. He's a prophet, and he released a prophetic word that gave and still gives profound insight into the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. It actually even highlights the Messiah's identity and mission. The prophetic word we have heard over and over again during the Christmas seasons, during sermons, during songs, during messages. Even this week, our kids' church pastor, Kath Bessemer, sent an email out to all the parents, and she used the same scripture, which I thought, well, that just shows you. But you know what? Because of something that is completely and totally repeated over and over again, we become a bit blasé to it and with it. But we need to realize that this profound truth that comes from this prophet Isaiah that was released about Christ's identity and mission should actually infiltrate, permeate, and impact our lives daily as believers. The prophetic word I'm talking about is in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. It says this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You've heard the scripture before? Anybody? Yes, yeah, some people. Some people are gazing at me. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. Listen to this. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four titles right there. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It is the fourth title that I want to camp around today. It is the fourth title that I want to highlight today, and that is the title Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew, that is Sar Shalom. You see, this title highlights Jesus' role as the bringer of peace, the bringer of true peace. It's true peace with God through the sacrifice that Jesus brought, reconciling humanity to God. It is true peace within, peace that surpasses all understanding for humanity, even in the midst of trials and storms and tribulations. It is true peace among people, because as you know, Jesus broke down and still breaks down barriers between people, calling us all to be peacemakers and agents of reconciliation. You can go and read that in Ephesians 2, verses 14 to 16. But it is the word peace that is very intriguing. It is the word peace that is very interesting. So for us to get some clarity around this word, I want us to do a quick study of the word, a word study of the biblical meaning of peace. You see, in Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. Everybody say shalom. And if we notice that the fourth title of Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. The word shalom actually means more than the absence of conflict. Many times when we say peace, peace, you know, we put the people photos, peace, peace. We what are we declaring? What do we say? What do we think is the saying of it all? There is peace, or shalom, actually means more, and we're going to have it on the board. It means all of these things together. Peace, the word shalom, is wholeness and wellness. It is well-being. It is safe. It is happy, friendly, favor, completeness, to make peace, peace offering, secure, to prosper, to be victorious, to be content, tranquil, quiet, and restful. So when you say shalom, you are saying all of those things. When you release shalom, you are releasing all of those things. What is really interesting as we continue a word study of the word shalom, shalom is made up of four letters, each with a pictographic symbol. We have these on the board behind me. You have the word shin, symbolizing teeth that crush and destroy. You have lamed, representing a shepherd's staff or authority. You have vav, which I don't know if we corrected it, but it's not corrected on there. It represents an iron nail or a hook. We have mem, which is waters, representing chaos or confusion. The pictographic symbol here comes from the Hebrew noun derived from the root word shalom. Shalom, which means to restore. Think about that. Shalom comes from the root word shalom. Shalom means to restore, in the sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete again. So therefore, it is important to note that shalom does not just mean wishing you with the absence of conflict. If I say to somebody shalom, I am not just wishing that they will be absent, that they will have no conflict in their life. Shalom actually describes everything that is needed to be whole and complete. Shalom actually breaks off all the authority that would attempt to bind us, you and me, to chaos. Shalom in actual fact, destroys all the authority that binds to chaos. Hold on. Let's back away. How can you say that, JJ? Because he is Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. He came to destroy all the authority of chaos in the name of Jesus. You see, so in declaring shalom, you and I restore wholeness and we destroy all authority that binds us to chaos. Jesus, the one we celebrate, Jesus, the one whose birth we are busy celebrating, is the Prince of Peace. He is Sar Shalom, and he is the giver. He is the giver of everything that we need whenever we need it. Why? So as to destroy all authority that binds us to chaos. The father of lies, Satan, what does he do? He is the father of lies. He causes chaos by his lies. He causes chaos by his strategies. He causes chaos by his schemes and his tactics and his convoluting spirit the whole time to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. That is scripture, John 10:10. But Sar Shalom, Jesus, with his arrival, he brings wholeness, he brings harmony, he brings prosperity, he brings justice. He brings wholeness by complete well-being in body and in mind and in spirit. He brings harmony where there's restored relationships with God and with others and even with yourself. He brings prosperity, flourishing in all the areas of your life under God's care, and justice he brings. A world where righteousness reigns and wrongs are made right. This is why he said in John 10:10b, he says, but I come to give life and that abundantly. That's the life that he has for us. You see, folks, Jesus didn't come merely to end wars. He came, as in Isaiah 61:1, where he says, to restore the brokenhearted, to bind up the wounded, and to release those from chaos or bondage, is what's written in scripture. To release those from chaos. You see, his peace, the shalom is so comprehensive. It touches every aspect of life. This is what you and I have access to. We have access to God Almighty. We have access to Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the Prince of Peace. If you're a believer today, you have access to him. You don't only have access to him, you have him. The Prince of Peace, he is yours. Now, that's Jesus' side. Let's talk about us. What is our responsibility? You see, because we could have something and do nothing with it. Good word, JJ. And this is where my study started. I was reading through the Psalms, as you do when you need some answers and you need some direction. And I go to Psalm 34, and I loved the title. The title was this. It caught my eye. The happiness of those who trust God. I'm like, I need happiness right now. I need a little bit of light and laughter. This is a good title. This is a good psalm for JJ. So I started reading. Yeah, and we're going to pick up from Psalm 34, verses 11. Come, children of God, that's me, and listen to me. I'll share a lesson. This is David, by the way. David is writing this. He says, come, I'll share the lesson I've learned of fearing the Lord. Oh, yeah, I could do with some learning some lessons, especially then I don't have to learn. If I can learn from your lessons, then I don't have to learn them, correct? So we continue reading. He says, I will share the lessons from fearing the Lord. Do you want to live a long, good life, enjoying the beauty that falls each day? I'm like, heck yes. That would be pretty cool. Then this is where he drops the mic. He goes, then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Oh, well, there we go. I just fell right there. right there. I failed. What do you mean, JJ? Well, I'm guilty as charged. You see, just that this was on the Tuesday. Just that Monday, I ranted and raved like a crazy madman in the car because there was somebody in front of me who could not merge or did not merge or didn't want to do whatever they want. They did not want to move in their car, and they nearly caused this massive pileup of truck, a bus, and all these cars together. I ranted. I did ask forgiveness afterwards, but I did rant and I did rave. Because then he goes on in verse 14, he goes, keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. And just to make sure that I understood what he was saying in the previous line, he adds, practice being at peace with everyone. So it's not just about making it my life motto, which is all words, but practice being at peace with everyone. Practice being at peace every day and in all circumstances. Then verse 15, the Lord sees you ranting and raving in your car, JJ. The Lord sees all we do. He doesn't only hear all, but he sees all, and he watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. As you can imagine, this verse really spoke to me. But what spoke to me and created this whole study were the two words, peace. Make peace your life motto and practice being at peace with everyone. You see, these two words, peace, are the word shalom. Make shalom your life motto. It's more than just being without conflict, remember. Make shalom your life motto and practice being at shalom with everyone. Oh, you see, this starts opening scripture to a whole new dynamic because then I'm going, well, is this the reason the Bible tells us in Matthew 5 verses 44 to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you? Whoa, hold on. If we've got Shalom, who is the Prince of Peace, which is all those things that we went about, we are meant to be releasing peace to our enemies who hate us, bless them and curse them, do good. What is it? That's releasing peace over them. That's releasing the wholeness that Shalom is all about over those who persecute us. This is not about just getting along with people. It's not about just liking people. This is about being Christ-like, Sar Shalom, and releasing the wholeness, releasing wellness and well-being and safety and happiness and friendliness. This is about making peace. This is about making people, helping people to prosper, to be content, to be tranquil, to be quiet. So I dug even deeper, as you do. Are you getting anything out of this? And I realize as I go through the New Testament, with Shalom is a terminology that's in the Old Testament. So what is the New Testament? And I actually find out that Jesus is the fulfillment of Shalom. What do you mean? Jesus is the fulfillment of Shalom, JJ. You see, because what did Jesus come to do? He came to restore all that is broken. Whoa, come on, peeps, we need to get this. We need to get it. He comes to restore. He is the fulfillment of Shalom. He's not only the title, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes, he is the fulfillment of it. But then he leaves us with this word in John 14, verses 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it to you. Now, that word peace, you go, well, this is the New Testament, Hebrew, Greek. But that word peace there is the Greek word eirene. Eirene, it's spelled this way for those biblical nerds, E-I-R-E-N-E, E-I-R-E-N-E, eirene. That's how it's pronounced. I checked it because we've got some Greek people in our family here. That same word is similar in meaning to the Hebrew word shalom in the Old Testament. So he says, Irene I leave with you, my Irene I give to you. The shalom I leave with you, peace, shalom I give to you, not as the world gives to you. And then in Ephesians 2 verses 14 to 17, right in the beginning he says, for he himself is our peace. So he's not only the Prince of Peace, but he has left his peace. He has left his shalom for us. He has given us his shalom. So we have to ask the question, why? Why has he given it to us? Just so that we can live a good life and be all merry and... No. Remember, most of life is beyond ourselves. If we are kingdom-minded, it's beyond ourselves. It's way beyond. It's about your neighbor. It's about the person next to you, sitting right next to you right now, that might at this point in time need the peace. So I dug a little bit further. And I want to suggest to you today that he said this and he did this because your world and my world is meant to be void of chaos. Your world and my world is meant to be void of chaos. It's meant to be void of it. Non-existence. You see, because when you look at this in context, that scripture, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, that context is Jesus is speaking this word as he prepares his disciple for his imminent departure through his crucifixion, through the resurrection, and the ascension. How many in this room realize that would have been an absolute mayhem of chaoticness? Their lives, they wouldn't have understood what was happening. They're about to face chaos at another level. There's going to be fear. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be rejection. But Jesus comes and he says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. He wants to reassure them amid this coming trials, wholeness is yours. Wholeness is yours. Not as the world gives it. He highlights that. That's very interesting. Jesus contrasts his peace, true peace, with worldly peace. You see, worldly peace is a concept. Worldly concept of peace is actually a temporary thing. It's based on the absence of conflict or external security. That is the worldly peace. But Jesus' shalom, being the Prince of Peace, is an internal peace. It's an eternal peace that you don't even come to see. And it is unaffected by the external. It's unaffected by the external. Doesn't matter what's happening. That's how come he wants. He's saying to his disciples who are about to go through the most chaotic time, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. And that's what he's left for you and for me, is his peace. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world. And I want to tell you, church, stepping into 2025, you and I are going to need more of this shalom. We're going to have to walk, not need more. We've got it all. We don't need more. Let me correct that. That is wrong. We don't need more. We've got it all. But we have to walk in the all. It's about walking in the all. It's about walking in that peace, in the shalom. Why am I saying this? Because this rumor of wars and wars, these floods, these things that are happening in the world are going to intensify as we get closer to the second coming, as we get closer to the end of the world. I'm not an end time preacher, but you just got to look around you. You just got to look around you. Christians have got to stop walking around like this or putting their heads in the sand like ostriches and hoping it's all going to go away. It's not going to go away. Revelation 101. It's not. It's going to intensify. And you and I are going to have to walk in the shalom like we've never walked in the shalom before. So I studied a little bit further. That pictographic symbol that I showed you, the absence of chaos. Shalom. Shalom is the absence of chaos. Take note of that. Anyway, moving on. Studied further. found another layer and another layer. And then all of a sudden, the word, I'm starting to get all these revelations as I'm understanding what shalom means and why Jesus would say this. But here's one that I want to highlight to you, because we have taught on the kingdom. We've spoken, we've taught what is the kingdom. We've taught about bringing your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But listen to this revelation that I got. The kingdom inaugurated by Jesus is a kingdom of shalom. The kingdom inaugurated by Jesus is a kingdom of shalom. Remember the definition of shalom. Let's make that legal. Let's look at scripture. Matthew 10 verses 7 to 8. It's going to be on the board. As you go, Jesus speaking, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Well, stop reading. Look at me. What did he say? The kingdom of heaven has come near. So hold on. What is the kingdom of heaven? Let's go back. What is the kingdom of heaven? Romans 14 verse 7 answers exactly that. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When I look up that word peace, guess what word it is? Irene, shalom. It's the same peace. So let's reread that scripture. I'm gonna change it a little bit. All right? Grace. As you proclaim this message, righteousness, shalom, and joy in the Holy Spirit has come near. Then he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What is he saying? Freely you have received what? Shalom. Freely you've received shalom, freely give shalom. Freely take that and just get rid of the chaos by releasing shalom upon shalom upon shalom. What is shalom? Shalom is all those things. Remember, I hope you took a photo of it. All those things, that is shalom. Heal the sick. What does sickness do? Brings chaos. Raise the dead. What does death bring? Bring chaos. What does people with leprosy do? Chaos. What does demons do? Chaos. What is he saying? Bring shalom. I'm a little bit excited, as you can see. As you proclaim, as you go, proclaim righteousness, shalom, joy are here. In other words, rid this place of chaos. Church, hear me today. Hear me today. You're a believer. You are the church. If you are a believer, you are the church. The church has to start releasing the shalom of heaven into the chaos that is permeating this world. The church, there's a lot of talking happening behind the scenes of our education and our politics and our this and our that. Release peace. Release the shalom. Oh, you know, the LGBTs and blah, blah, blah. Release peace. Oh, you know, the aged care says, release peace, release shalom. Release the presence and the power of God within each circumstance and allow the shalom of heaven, the Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom, to permeate. It's time. We can't sit with our arms crossed anymore. We can't sit and wait for the person next to us to do this. This is the problem with the church. We're waiting for our neighbor to do this. We're waiting for our neighbor to invite somebody to church. Start with yourself. Declare peace over your neighbors. Right now, we got this little invite. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. Here we go. We got this little invite. Declare peace over this invite. Give it to your neighbor and expect a yes. No, oh, I don't know if they're going to come. No. You're partnering with the chaos. Expect the yes. 85% of the person that were invited will say yes. But this is the time, church. This is the time to rise up and release the shalom of God. So I wrap it up. If the team can join me, that'll be amazing. I wrap it up. I'm still going good. Don't get excited. I've got a conclusion, which is about another 30 minutes long. I'm only kidding, only kidding, only kidding. God's shalom is the fullness of the life He intended for you and me. He wants you to live in shalom. Not peace. Not that peace. Shalom. Shalom. Jonathan, can you give me, put up the definition of the shalom, the slide with all the definitions of the shalom, please. This is what He wants you. This is what He's called you. This is what He's determined for you to live in. He has determined by Him coming to this earth, by Him being crucified, being born, which is what we're celebrating, by Him being crucified, by Him being hung on a cross, by Him dying, this is what He wants you to walk and live in wholeness, wellness, well-being, safety, happiness, friendliness, favor, completeness, making peace, offering peace, security, prosperity, victorious, to be content, tranquil, quiet, and restful. That is His will for you as a believer. That is His will for me as a believer. And this is the question that I have, is that you and I as the church, we need to step into His shalom today. We need to become a vessel of His peace, because you know what? You cannot give what you do not have. If you're sitting on the front row, you're being spat at the moment, but that's okay. It's Holy Spirit. You cannot give what you don't have. I can stand here and go, I would love to give you each $100,000, you know, the billion-dollar lottery from, I don't play lottery, just letting you know, from the USA, I'm going to win it, I'm going to give you each $100,000. Let's make it a billion, I'll give you each $1 million. But I cannot give that to you if I don't have the billion. Right, let's make it more practical. Kids, they've got 100 kids in kids' church. I want to give them all a chocolate. I walk in, I'm going to give you all chocolates. 100 of them. The kids are like, yeah, baby, bring it, chocolates. Mom and dad are going, oh, no, not sugar. Please, no sugar, no sugar, no sugar. But you know what? I cannot give those kids chocolates if I do not have a bag filled with 100 chocolates. I can only give what is in my possession. I'm calling you. I'm calling you, Maïs. I'm calling the family. I'm calling the church to become a vessel of His shalom so that you can release it. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what we focus on. No, 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 no. But I come to give that life, and that in abundance is, I want to give you this. This. This for me is a culmination of a life in abundance. Amen? Are we hearing this? Are we getting this? This is the life in abundance that He wants for you and me. You can only release what you have. So let's think about ourselves now. Now it gets awkward. But where in this point in time do you need wholeness today? Where in this point of time do you need wellness? Where do you need happiness? Do you need safety? Do you need the shalom? Where do you need shalom? Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's in your heart. Maybe it's in circumstances. Maybe you need shalom in your finances. He's the God of everything. Maybe you need shalom in your children, in your household. Maybe you need shalom in your marriage. I don't know. I don't know where you need shalom, but you've got to ask the question, because no matter what challenge, crisis, or circumstance you face today, His provision of shalom has already been given, because He's already come. He's already here. He is the Prince of Peace, and He offers that to you, to me, in every circumstance. The Prince of Peace didn't come to save the world. He didn't come just to save the world. He came to calm the chaos. He came to shut the chaos up. Somebody said to me at the second service, which this is where you can go to. The earth, Genesis, was layered with chaos. Holy Spirit was hovering. God said, let there be light. Chaos turned to what we have today. That's the God we serve. That's the majesticness of the God we serve. He is majestic. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He knows. And He wants to partner with you to come. And as you embrace a peace that surpasses all understanding, nullifying the chaos that could be raging, bringing clarity, bringing surety, bringing safety, bringing soundness, bringing stability, bringing sleep. How do you let your heart not be troubled? How do you let your heart and your mind not be troubled in this time? Easy. Receive a fresh dose of His peace. From Sar Shalom.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.